I think in continuing kind of the theme of this organization and the meeting today of conserving water or getting the most we can out of every drop, I think it's pretty obvious to everyone around here that controlling weeds is one of the most important things there, that you certainly don't want to be losing water to the weeds. In a lot of areas, that's not necessarily the case. I've seen presentations at weed meetings where they were doing competition studies, say in Iowa, and they were looking at competition for light and space, and they never really considered the effects of moisture. They had enough water for the weeds in the crop too, so it didn't wasn't that much big deal for them, but it certainly is around here, and I think everyone recognizes that. I guess in traveling around the South Plains this year, various directions, certainly not every road or every county, but in general, to me it was very impressive in terms of the weed control jobs that producers had done. It was, if you think back 3 or 4 years ago when resistance really showed up, there were some ugly fields out there, and it was a real struggle to try to keep things controlled. But I think really with the combination, I think it's old technologies and new technologies coming together to really do a good job, with the old technologies being residual herbicides, that a lot of those have been around for, I don't know, 40 or 50 years, things like Treflan, Prowl, Caprol, Dual, and then the new technologies, ExtendFlex and Enlist, which gives much better effective post options since Roundup doesn't do the job anymore. But it seems to me that most people have really done a good job utilizing these tools and really have some clean fields. You do notice some late season weeds coming where the water's been going, and a few late season pigweed poking up. And again, that's of somewhat concern, I think, that anybody might say, well, I've spent a lot of money and worked hard all year, a few weeds out there, it's not going to interfere with harvest. The downside of that, I think, is letting weeds go to seed is going to increase problems for next year. So I think spending a little bit now trying to take that last flush out or prevent that last flush is still an important thing to do. And some of the work that's been done, and it's really been Pete Dautre's area, they've looked at, you know, late season pigweed that may not be get more than 6 inches tall, but they can still, if you've got a lot of them out there, you can still produce a lot of weed seed. Even those small plants, you know, can produce a couple of thousand seed each, and the cumulative effect of that is you increasing your weed problems going into the next year. So I think doing the best job you can till the bitter end is still something that can help in the future. Another interesting study that's been done, again, this is in kind of Pete's side of the business, is looking at, you know, question is, well, different weed seed, how long do they last in the soil? If it's grown this year, gets in the soil, how long is it going to be a problem? And a lot of weeds, things like bindweed, have been identified at lasting, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years in the soil. They're almost immortal. What Pete's study did is they buried pigweed seed about 6 inches deep and then dug some up each year, grew them out, and see what the emergence or what the germination was. And it looked like after about 3 years, germination was down to 1% or less. So I think pigweed doesn't have just a real long life in the soil. But I think the problem is we're always adding to it. So even though they're dying off pretty fast, there's still plenty coming to take their place. But to me, that does give anyone some hope, is if you can reduce that seed bank over time, maybe you can improve situations there. I know there's roadsides and neighbors maybe who don't do as good a job that can reinfest you all the time. But to me, that was encouraging that a pigweed seed doesn't last 10 years in the soil. And I think if you think about some of the other weeds, one that we really had a problem with in the Lubbock area was lance leaf sage or mintweed. And it was a real problem, but when Roundup Ready came along, it pretty much disappeared. And then after 2 or 3 years, you just never saw one. And to me, that tells me that those seed didn't have much of a life in the soil. Once you quit adding them back, it pretty much disappeared as a weed problem there. But again, I think people have done a good job using residuals with these new technologies, and hopefully there were some painful lessons learned in the Roundup Ready era, where it got too easy to do nothing but spray Roundup, and that was cheap and effective, did the job, but it sure sped up the development of resistance. And I think one big difference there between, say, dicamba or 2,4-D and Roundup is they're not the herbicides that Roundup was. You, as you've seen, you can't let a lot of weeds get 2 feet tall and spray them and just melt them to the ground like you could with Roundup. They may twist them up and stop those weeds from growing, but they're not the standalone herbicides that Roundup was in its heyday. So I think I'm hoping that helps people keep using it as a part of a system. And to me, this is kind of a philosophical standpoint, but if you think about your weed control program, well, dicamba or 2,4-D doesn't need to be the heart of that. The heart needs to be the residuals you use either pre-plant, pre-emerge, or in season. And then you've got the dicamba, 2,4-D, Liberty, your post-treatments to kind of work around the edges. And what you didn't control otherwise, let those clean it up, almost like hoeing. If you got 99% of them or, you know, 98% with your residuals, let those post-treatments clean up the rest. And don't depend on those to be 70 or 80% of your program, because I think that's where we're going to be speeding up resistance, just putting too much pressure on those herbicides if they're having to control so many weeds from start to finish. And along those lines, with more no-till cover crop situations, you know, you could use dicamba or 2,4-D as a burn down at planting, and then in season, I would like to see people save those uses for in season. To me, you can do a really good job with a burn down with something like Gramoxone Paraquat, save your dicamba, and that gets another mode of action in there, keeps that selection pressure off dicamba from start to finish. And to me, you can do just as good a job and save that dicamba or 2,4-D for the summertime then. You know, I think weed resistance has been a lot in the press, and I think out here till I think the first we saw resistant pigweed was about 2011. And my hope at that point was, you know, they were already having problems in the South, the Midwest, that, well, we're doing things right out here and it's not going to be a problem for us. And that was wrong. But really, Roundup and Palmer Amaranth, that's not the start nor the only resistance there is around. I mean, it's a widespread national, a worldwide problem across a lot of chemistry and a lot of different weeds. I think if you multiply a weed species times resistance to a certain herbicide, there's a little over 400 different instances of weed resistance across the country. And again, some of those are fairly obscure weeds and situations, but it's a very widespread thing, and certainly not just related just to glyphosate and just to Palmer Amaranth. Now, in terms of Palmer Amaranth, I was always amused through the years, somewhat, going to weed meetings and people across the country, they'd never heard of Palmer Amaranth. I mean, they had all these weeds that I never heard of that they were worried about, that they had problems with. And then the last 10 years, when Palmer Amaranth's been a problem in the South and the Midwest, oh, you think it's the end of the world coming. And I think people out here have dealt with that as their number one weed ever since started farming out here. So I wouldn't say I have no sympathy for them, but maybe less sympathy than they think we have for them there. So they got lots of water too, so they shouldn't be pretty happy about that. Let's see, what else we need to talk about here? I think as there is more and more no-till type production, either in residue or cover crops or whatever, got to start thinking of weed control as a year-round proposition. I think in conventional till, you know, from the time you harvest to the time you plant, you're doing enough tillage cultivation that, you know, things like mare's tail and a lot of winter weeds are never a problem, and you don't really realize they're there, but you're just controlling them so well when you're doing tillage operations. But if you're not doing any tillage, you know, the weeds are coming, and I think the worst thing anybody could do would be wait till about April and think, well, I guess it's about time to start thinking about the weeds. And I think then you've already missed too much time. You need to be out there February, considering, you know, has it rained much in the last couple of months? Do we have weeds coming? Because that's when things like horseweed are going to start growing, and they're sure a lot easier to control when they're in the rosette stage or an inch tall than when they're a foot tall. So staying ahead of the game on weeds, both from a burn down and getting some early residuals out, I think are going to save a lot of problems as you move closer to planting time. And I might just describe what I've seen work very well in a no-till cotton system, be it planting in old residue or in a cover crop, is going out there about the first of late February, first of March. Doesn't take a real high rate, either 2,4-D or dicamba. Say with Valor, if it's not growing cover crop, putting Roundup in there. That combination, clean up the weeds there, and then you have the Valor to give you some residual moving closer to planting time. Obviously, if you're have a cover crop, you can't put the Roundup in then, but you get closer to planting, you can kill the cover crop, and to me at planting, something like Gramoxone plus Caporal or Direx or Cotteran, some kind of a residual, to kick in as that valor's playing out. Let your next residual take you into the growing season then. And then you get to, say, May, or early part of June, and you've got some escapes, and it's time for your post-treatment. Well, either that first post, or if things are, if it's been kind of dry and the pressure's not too great, maybe hold off and put a residual with your second post application. But if we've had normal May rainfall, you kind of sense the weeds are coming, something like dicamba, Roundup, Warrant, Dual, one of those type materials is a very good residual to get out then. Chances are the Caporal you put at planting time is going to give you a month's control, plus or minus. So if you planted the 10th of May, you know, by the 10th of June, that residual is about gone. So if you can lay another residual down then, continue on, you're kind of keeping that layer of residuals out there from March to hopefully August to really keep the pressure of the pigweed from never coming up and not having to deal with it. And the resistance is, you know, it's a numbers game and probability. If you have millions of weeds coming up, the chances of one of those being resistant to whatever post-treatment you're using and surviving is a lot higher than if you've got thousands coming up. So the less weeds that come up for the post to deal with, that greatly reduces the chance of resistance popping up in the short run. And again, you know, you start adding all those things up. So, man, that's spending a lot of dollars on herbicide, and I think it is. But if you're taking tillage out of the mix, there's no free lunches there. You're going to have to spend the money, you know, on the herbicides, what you're saving otherwise. And we've done some kind of economic comparisons, you know, even comparing back to conventional cotton. And you can save money on seed and chemical, but you're going to spend it on tillage and hoeing to make that up. So I think if we're using our chemicals wisely, a lot of these older materials are pretty reasonably priced. I wouldn't say they're cheap, but reasonably priced, you can get a lot of good out of that. In terms of, I guess one of the things on the title was drift management. And I think everyone's probably had the opportunity to go through auxin training in the springtime if you're spraying either dicamba or the 2,4-D products. And I think there's a lot of good information there. It covers pretty much anything you would encounter. And I think if people will pay attention to that and implement those, and I think people are for the most part, using the right formulations, having the boom at a low enough level, using the right kind of nozzles, watching the wind, all the other factors that come into play there, you can do a good job of spraying with minimal off-target movement. And that's what we've got to do. I mean, you hear about all the problems in Arkansas, Tennessee, and the Corn Belt with dicamba drift on beans and what a national issue that is. And I think from the dicamba side, we've had a lot of acres planted out here, and from my perspective, very limited problems and a lot of good control. So to keep that technology alive, we've got to do, can't be having many problems coming out of this area to add to the ones that are appearing in those regions. So I guess on the dicamba side, you know, this is 3 years in, it seems to be very successful in terms of the weed control and off-target movement. I think it helps that a lot of acres are planted to that technology, that if all your neighbors have dicamba cotton too, that gives you a pretty bigger margin for error than if you have non-dicamba scattered around there. Let's see, again, the training, that's going to be an annual deal unless something changes, so you'll be having the opportunity in the winter of 2020 to sit through those exciting presentations again. But to me, if it keeps the technology alive, that's a kind of a small price to pay. So hopefully it's some good refresher material for everybody and will help minimize the problems. Again, I wanted to leave some time just for some discussions or questions or experiences or something that maybe we all could gain something from that. So does anybody have any observations from this year they've ready to weeds they'd like to share? Barry, will you? Well, what weeds would you say they're closer to planting time that you felt like you weren't getting good enough control on?
It's the bear's tail, the ghost, the
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a little bit surprising because I think Valor has some pretty good residual activity on both kochia and Russian thistle. So I don't know, thinking back on the, you know, that was a fairly dry period too, I think. So I don't know, what, maybe y'all got a little more rain up there, but I think we were dry till, oh, maybe March, early April, something like that. Yeah. I think maybe sometimes when you have those dry periods, you kind of get delayed emergence. You know, where if you're getting a little rain during February and March, you might be have things trying to come up in the herbicide working. But if it's dry, you get kind of that late emergence, and it could have been kind of sneaking under the fence there as your herbicide was playing out. But I would hope that consistently you'll see better results than that. I think so. That to me, that's an excellent thing to use in a no-till situation. If I was growing a grain crop there, I'd probably just substitute to. Well, Valor would still work there. You could almost put in some atrazine there early, too, if you wanted a good residual product early on then. You know, I'm just talking a little bit about that. You know, MiloPro is disappearing from the market, and I think in grain crops, you know, there's a lot of different, in corn or especially a lot of different herbicides, but kind of the common denominators are all kind of atrazine dependent, either from a pre- or post-standpoint. I know there's been, you know, lots of attacks on atrazine, but for grain crops, I think it's essential that still remains on the market for pre or post. It just gives you such flexibility there mixed with other products. Without that, it's going to be much, much tougher to control pigweed in grain crops. So let's hope that continues on.